Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May all this love and respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you in silence to prepare your confession on this first Sunday of Lent. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, whose Son fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, but did not sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in submission to your Spirit, that as you know our weakness, so we may know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading, a reading from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Lecture du premier épître de Saint Pierre. En effet, le Christ lui-même a souffert pour les péchés, une fois pour toutes, lui, juste pour les injustes, afin de vous présenter à Dieu, lui, mis à mort dans sa chair, mais rendu à la vie par l'Esprit. C'est alors qu'il est allé prêcher, même aux esprits en prison, aux rebelles d'autrefois, quand se prolongeait la patience de Dieu au jour où Noé construisait l'arche, dans laquelle peu de gens, 8 personnes, furent sauvées par l'eau. C'est l'image du baptême qui vous sauve maintenant. Il n'est pas la purification des souillures du corps, mais l'engagement envers Dieu d'une bonne conscience. Il vous sauve par la résurrection de Jésus-Christ, qui, parti pour le ciel, est à la droite de Dieu, et à qui sont soumis anges, pouvoir et puissance. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks.
Thank you. May God be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of Christ.
These spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've always enjoyed seeing a rainbow in the sky. What about a double rainbow? It's doubly beautiful, isn't it? The softness of the colors, the way the clouds get in the way, the sun shining through. I remember as a child laughing with my mother about searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's a story from Irish folklore where leprechauns buried gold in secret places. If you could get to the end of a rainbow, you might just be lucky and find one of those pots of gold. Of course, there's another really better reason I like rainbows, and the origin of this one is biblical, from the story of Noah and the flood, the one that Jill read to us this morning. At the end of the story, God puts a rainbow in the sky. It is to serve as a reminder, not to people, but to God. It's sort of like when you tie a string around your finger. I don't know if anyone does that anymore to help you remember something. But God puts the rainbow in the sky to remind God never to wipe out humanity, regardless of how sinful they might be. Don't you think it might be utterly tempting sometimes? See God looking out over creation today? Maybe it's surprising that there aren't more rainbows. But it's reassuring to see a rainbow and to know that God remembers. So the rainbow is a reminder to God of the covenant. It's a biblical word for the special, deep, and strong relationship between two parties. And in fact, in this case, the covenant which God wants to remember is not just between God and humanity, but between God and humanity and all living creatures. Isn't that lovely? When Noah took the animals into the ark with him, he was exercising responsibility not just for the human creature, but the animal ones as well. Well, this covenant, this special relationship with God, that God has with people and with all living things, will be renewed and reshaped throughout our history. The chief characters that you read about in the Hebrew text, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, David, and then finally, that covenant will be reshaped, reformed, renewed in a brilliant new way through the person of Jesus Christ. And maybe the one-word summary for what that covenant looks like would be love. This season of Lent is given to us really as a reminder. Like the rainbow is a reminder to God, I suggest to you that the season of Lent is a reminder to us of the covenant which God has made with us through Christ. The covenant that God will love us, for us to love in return. The season is given to help us refocus ourselves, to reorient ourselves, and to remember the blessings of God. Some very concrete, practical helps were given to us when we met here on Wednesday evening for the Ash Wednesday liturgy. We were invited then to observe a Holy Lent, this time of remembering and refocusing, by these ways: by self-examination, by penitence, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. Those are specific, practical ways that the Church gives to us, that holds up before us, to help us remember who and whose we are. The story is told of a professor encountering a particularly glum-looking student in the hallway of the theological college midway through Lent. Had the student failed an exam, broken up with a partner? What was it? Wondered the prof. What's up, old chap? You're looking very sad. Oh, I am, replied the student. It's all this dreadful Lenten stuff. You know, I've got to get up earlier to read the Bible in the morning. I've got to give more money and more time away. I can't eat my favorite food. I've got to acknowledge my faults before God. It's all very, very hard. Cheer up, said the prof. Easter is coming. Then you can sleep in again, keep more of your money, and eat and drink whatever and whenever you like. There was a Christian teacher who used to say, if your religion makes you miserable, give it up. The point is not to do things for Lent. The point is that Lent is a time given to us to help us refocus. And maybe those practices that we begin or that we try, we experiment with in Lent, become part of who we are. They help us understand our faith journey that we're on. They tell us something about ourselves and something about our God. The theologian Jane Williams says this, and I quote, "The intimate and necessary connection between the human creation and the rest of what God has made is part of what Lent is supposed to help us rediscover. The story of Noah is perfectly clear that all life is utterly dependent upon God. If God did not choose to preserve it, it would not be. If you depart from this basic fact, then you have lost the possibility of finding your purpose." End of quote. The Gospel today tells the story of Jesus' baptism and his time in the wilderness. It's a story of Jesus finding his purpose. It has a terrific beginning, doesn't it? In those days. It's kind of like a code phrase. You know, we might say in those days when you could fill up your car with gas and you still got change from a $20 bill. Or in those days, Alan Box was the rector and Pat Johnston was the assistant curate. In those days. When Mark uses the phrase, he is referring to in those days of John the Baptist. Because in those days, John had come on the scene in Israel after a very long, dry spiritual period. There had not been a prophet such as he was speaking God's word. No prophets like Nathan and Elijah and Isaiah and Amos. Not for hundreds of years, a very long time. John came on that scene and he had a very short sermon. One word: repent. Turn around, people. You're going in the wrong direction. Repent didn't mean feel guilty, be remorseful. It meant get your act together and turn your life around. Remember God's covenant. And something new is about to happen. So it was in those days that Jesus came. He came from Nazareth and was baptized by John. It was a powerful event. The heavens opening, the dove taking shape, the voice speaking, "You are my son, the beloved." And then immediately, Jesus began a kind of Lenten period, if you will, of self-discovery. What did that voice mean? "You are my son, the beloved." The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. It's a strong word. It's the same word that Mark will use to say when Jesus drives out the demons. And Jesus lived in the wilderness for 40 days. In the Bible, the wilderness is always a place of struggle, of difficulty, of self-examination and realization. Now, the Judean wilderness has a kind of beauty, certainly, but it is still a lonely, barren, difficult place. I think it's a curious and a beautiful feature for Mark to point out that Jesus was with the wild beasts in that wilderness when he sorted out what his life was going to look like. Mark also tells us that angels waited on Jesus during that time. He would emerge from that desert experience ready for all that would follow, all the lives he would touch, all the goodness of God, the love of God that he would make known, all the challenges he would make to organized religion. Jesus would upset many with his understanding of God, and ultimately he would suffer death by crucifixion. He would inaugurate that new covenant between God and God's people. A friend shared an anonymous piece with me this week. It's called "The Fast Life," and I'd like to share just a few lines with you. Perhaps it will help you shape your Lent to better know who you are and where you're going. "Fast from judging others. Feast on Christ dwelling in them. Fast from fear of illness. Feast on the healing power of God. Fast from pessimism. Feast on hope. Fast from self-concern. Feast on compassion. And finally, fast from anxiety. Feast on faith." Amen.
God, maker of all, we join together to honor the mystery and wonder of our lives. Help us to nourish love for life and to live into a future of hope. Help us to practice the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us as we call to you, saying, "Gracious God, hear our prayer." We remember all, like Noah and Jesus and people everywhere who have called and prayed to you through the ages. They remind us that we are not alone in our yearnings to be ever closer to your love. We pray for the church, its leaders, and our leaders at St. John's, all our volunteers, and for our social outreach activities. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for our world and those many places of conflict. We pray for those who are caught and suffer greatly in struggles for power. We bring to mind those affected by environmental conditions that need to change. We pray for peace between nations, especially Russia, Ukraine, Gaza, Israel. Peace within countries, peace between us and our Mother Earth. Peace within homes and families, and peace within our own hearts. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to work to foster good government to support us nationally, provincially, and locally, ever encouraging more understanding and cooperation. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for our reconciliation with the truth of our indigenous history. Help us to learn and accept the acceptance so that we can begin to share narrative, spirituality, respect, care, and love for the earth. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for children and their families. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Grateful for the life in our bodies, we pray for lives that are diminished by the challenges of life, asking for the healing, the affirming, the listening, which will encourage and restore us. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by us all, and especially those close to our hearts. We give thanks for those whom we have loved and see no longer. May their souls rest in peace. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Challenging God, teach us to know life ever on the side of the future. Keep alive in us the forward look, the high hope, the onward surge. Let us not be frozen either by the past or the present. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Faithful God, in this holy bread you increase our faith and hope and love. Lead us in the path of Christ, who is your word of life. We ask this in his name. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you. Go in peace, the love and serve the Lord.